Well, shalom and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. You know that each week I try to bring you some music of interest. A little departure this week. We're going to have a discussion this first hour concerning Nusach. This is a topic very dear to many of you who are fans of Chazanut. Many bemoan the fact that some people who get up and try to daven at the Umid have no concept of the fact that there is a set melody and set music that is appropriate for various days, holidays, and so forth, and Shabbos. It isn't just getting up and putting the words to any tune that might come to your mind. It's quite set. First interview that we'll be hearing is with cantors Joel Kaplan and Chaim David Burson. They're going to be discussing Nusach HaTefillah Initiative by the OU. And now this is geared for the uninitiated, for the newcomer, if you will. We had this conversation just a couple of weeks ago. After that, you'll hear a conversation I had with wonderful cantor Yossi Malavani. His discussion is for more advanced person with more advanced knowledge of Nusach, it's not quite for the uninitiated, although I guess if you wanted to take classes at the Bell School with him or the many other wonderful professors and teachers there, that's your option. So that's a background. I interviewed Yossi in September prior to the holidays, as you will hear, and didn't really have an opportunity to play his comments together with Joel and Chaim David. So let's get right to it and hope you'll find this of interest. I'm sure you will.
I'm very pleased to have with me cantor Joel Kaplan and cantor Chaim David Burson. We're going to be talking about a new program with the OU concerning Nusach. Why don't you tell us how it started and tell us about this new project.
Thank you, Charlie. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be on your program and to have always interesting conversation with you. So this is something that we started a couple of months ago at the OU, and we call it the Nusach HaTefillah Initiative. And the way this started actually was I was approached by cantor Joel Kaplan, that's right here with us, and he really has the Zchut Rishonim here. And cantor Kaplan spoke to me about this topic that we need to help. We need to help people. We need to make it accessible, this whole concept of Nusach. Nusach, it's hard to, in one word in English, to explain what that is, but it's basically the way we daven. It's the style, it's the musical style, it's the traditions of the tunes that we use throughout our tefillah, for weekdays, for Shabbat, for Chagim, for the high holidays. And we all are exposed to that to one extent and the other. And we all know it, even if we don't know that we know it. It's very, very important. And I'm sure we'll elaborate a little more about that, why it's so important. But the thing is that especially today, when there aren't that many professional cantors and a lot more lay people lead tefillah, and there's that's a different discussion if that's good or bad. But there's definitely a blessing there. People are more involved. People, it's given back to the public in some ways. But there still should be guidelines, and it should be done the right way. It doesn't mean it has to be done the wrong way or in a non-correct way if it's not done by professionals. So what we're doing at the OU, by having presence on the website where you can have access to reading material, recordings, and also creating programs that are all devoted to this subject, this topic of Nusach, of educating and teaching and exposing people and discussion about this, and also going back to what I said, creating a resource, a bank of material and places where it's accessible for anyone who wants to go online and listen, and also can reach out and contact the OU about this if there's an interest for a program, or if they want to be put in touch with an institution like the Bell School if they want to pursue a higher level of education in this field, or just to get some basic knowledge. And God willing, there's a lot more that we want to do, and going out there and making it available and bringing Nusach back to life.
So how does it work? They log on, and it's a series of classes. It's broken down by particular holidays and so forth.
So everything that you said, all of the above. Basically, what we have now is if you go on the OU website under Synagogue Services, and you'll see on the banner on top, there's a place that says Tefillah Initiative, Nusach Tefillah, and you click on that, and it sends you to a page where there's an article as an introduction about the topic, and a short video from Rabbi Weinberg from the OU, one of the important rabbis there, that talks about this and explains the importance of Nusach. And then at the bottom of the page, you have links to recordings. As of now, that bank of recordings is going to grow, but as of now, we started with the recordings of Rabbi Haskel Luchstein from KJ, which he put together a series of recordings of all the tefillot. Now, Rabbi Luchstein has Mesorah from his father, and he's a Baal Nusach. He's not known as a Chazan. He's not the Chazan of his shul, but at the same time, he knows Nusach.
But is his Nusach universal?
So it's something, I did a lot of research of what Nusach, if you want, this is not for Chazanim, this is for everyone. Uh-huh. So I found that from everything that I found out there, Rabbi Luchstein's Nusach so far is the most middle of the road. It's accurate. There's no, it has a father and a mother. It comes from somewhere. While at the same time, it's not too sophisticated. It's easy to relate to, and I think everyone can learn from it. So there's one click, and you can go straight to all the recordings of the tefillah over there, and also a few articles that we posted from Cantor Sherwood Goffin, that he did a lot of research and years of teaching, and he's an expert in the field of this whole concept of Nusach and the history of Nusach and how it breaks down and all the various parts of the Nusach. And the next stage, we just had one today, pre-high holiday class with the Chazanim on the Upper West Side. We've had one last week in Teaneck and out in Los Angeles and Beverly Hills, all devoted to this topic of Nusach HaTfilah. And the goal is to create as many more as these opportunities for people. And we're going to work together with the OU, with their Scholar in Residence program, and hopefully go out there to communities and send Chazanim, Baalei Tefillah, educators that can educate the community, that can lead services, and then speak in any form that works for every community. We're going to work with the communities in creating this these classes that can really bring this out there and give exposure to it.
Joel?
So maybe I'll just give a little background how it started. I suppose about a year ago, after the last Cantorial Council of America convention, 2015, I felt motivated that we need to do something. I need to do something personally to make Nusach HaTfilah more accessible to the person out there. Not necessarily, not only to people, let's say, in the Tri-State area, but let's say you're in a shul in Omaha, you're in a shul in outside of the Tri-State area. How are you going to learn Nusach HaTfilah if you don't have a chazan in the shul or somebody who's knowledgeable about Nusach HaTfilah? Then who's leading the services? How is someone supposed to be able to learn Nusach HaTfilah, or you're stuck? What's there? What are the resources that are there to be able to learn? So what I did was, with the advice of Rabbi Hain, who's the rabbi of the shul where I am, I'm a congregation Beth Shalom in Lawrence, he suggested that I approach the OU. And I reached out first to Rabbi Ganak, who heads the Kashrus division, but he's well known as a lover of Chazanut. Comes to many concerts, and I emailed him as my first entree, and he said, I'm with you, but it's not my bailiwick. And I copied Alan Fagan, who is the CEO of the OU on this on your email, Joel. And Alan Fagan reached out to me and said he was traveling. He wants to meet me when he comes back. This is about a year ago. And he and I met. And I prepared myself, you know, to make a pitch and to explain the issue and to see what we could do, what the OU could do. And within 2 minutes of my explaining the issue, he hopped it right away. He said, "I got it. You're right. We have to do something." And he immediately called in Rabbi Judah Isaacs, who's the director of synagogue community engagement for the OU. And that's how it started. And I really have to give a tremendous amount of credit to Alan Fagan personally, and to the OU, obviously, as an institution, and to Judah Isaacs for really honchoing this over the last year. And then the question was, who should sort of be the person who wakes up in the morning, and it's their job to curate. That was the word that Alan Fagan said. There are resources out there for Nusach HaTfilah, but it's not all in one place, and it hasn't been distilled and to make it accessible. So what happened was they interviewed Chaim David Burson, the chazan of the Jewish Center, and it was a match made in heaven. Chaim David has been working on it for the last 6, 7, 8 months, along with the IT department of the OU and the communications department. And what we see on the website is only the beginning of what's going to be a great thing. So it's going to be a lot more resources that will be on the web page that people could access. Also, as you said, it's very important to understand if someone really wants to get to the next level, then that's where the Bell School could come in, where you could take courses at a more advanced level, and that's an important thing to note. And I think that we're at the beginning of something that could be very important. Nusach HaTfilah, we're not talking about Chazonis, even though Chazonis is the elaboration of Nusach HaTfilah, but we need to have the people in the shuls understand that Nusach HaTfilah is not an, and I don't want to say this in the wrong way, it's not an option, it's a requirement. It's a halachic requirement that we have to daven a certain way with Nusach HaTfilah, that we have to use Nusach HaTfilah to daven. And the other thing we should understand is that we're not bound and constrained by Nusach HaTfilah. In certain places, we have to have Kol Nidre, for example, is the best example. If I came into shul and I'm the chazan and I said, you know what, I don't really like that melody of the Kol Nidre. It doesn't speak to me. I'm going to have my own melody for Kol Nidre. That's not, everyone feels in their gut that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate, not just because musically it's not appropriate and tradition's not appropriate, but the halacha says that you shouldn't change the nigunim, the nigunim of what the community is used to. So all of those items, the halacha, the tradition, and what people are used to, is all the things that we need to keep in mind, and that's why we need to make Nusach HaTfilah part of the daily and weekly and religious life of every shul.
This sounds like a very exciting project, and while you both have been speaking, I was thinking that this will lay the groundwork or be the seeds for a lot of young people to perhaps then go on to the next step and become chazanim.
Yes. Absolutely.
Of course, you have the other problem. You have a lot of chazanim that don't follow Nusach or may not understand it, or they pose as chazanim, but we'll leave that for a different discussion. But I think that this will certainly lay the groundwork for the future.
The everyone says that if you can't be a good chazan unless you're a good baal tefillah to start with, meaning that you master Nusach HaTfilah. And I think that some of the chazanim that they may not formally have learned what we call Nusach HaTfilah, but they listened in shul and whenever they davened to people who did know Nusach HaTfilah, and sort of they internalized it and it's part of them. And then they went on to become a chazan and to elaborate on it, which is really what it is. Chazanis is an elaboration of Nusach HaTfilah. And And I think that's an important note. And as Cy Sim said, an educated consumer is our best customer.
Right.
If the people don't know Nusach HaTfila, then there's no chance that they're going to appreciate, I think, or less of a chance that they'll appreciate Chazanut.
Well, I also recall Moshe Shulhoff was always a proponent of the proper Nusach and to be a good Baal Tefila. He said, if you weren't a good Baal Tefila, you could never be a great Chazan. And one of the other things, I have so many different Nusach tapes or CDs, and it's confusing to me as to, you know, I'm not into it, by the way, but I have them. And where do they fit in the scheme? There's so many that have been produced over the years.
Yeah, so you're talking about old stuff that you have?
Yes.
So, I mean, personally, I'm always collecting and always fascinated with these things because there's always something you can learn because there's like so many ways of interpretation for the same thing. The thing is that where we are now, it's we're really trying to come up with something that's like shavele kol nefesh, as you would say. Because again, one of the things that you know we spent a lot of time discussing why we are where we are today. Like, if in order to fix the problem, if there's a problem, you know, why, what caused that problem? And there are many, many angles to it. But one of the things was, because this was in the hands of professionals for so many years, it was taken to such a high level, while at the same time, you said before that if the crowd is educated, then they appreciate it. But this sort of this gap started happening that people didn't appreciate it. The Chazanim were doing it, so people moved away to the other extreme. They felt, oh, if there's a Chazan involved, that's not for us. But we want to show people that doesn't mean that only with a Chazan you can do it right, or that you have to come. There's like Cantor Kaplan mentioned that there's a Baal Tefila, right? There's a way of doing it right that's on a more basic and simple level, that does not so demanding on the voice, and it's not so complicated, you know, from a musical standpoint, but at the same time it's correct.
Okay.
And so a lot of these Nusach recordings, some of them can be a goldmine, right? But at the same time, for anyone who's already into Chazanut or into Nusach, so it's really a treasure. But for someone who just wants to learn how to daven, or he has to hear the basics.
Okay.
So sometimes, I'm not saying that anything is like, hold on to those things, I'd love to hear them.
I see.
But at the same time, we're trying to start again from the bottom.
Well, it could be that some of these Nusach
might be something that we go on to the website. And it's also...
Yeah.
Nusach, I always say that it's one of the last forms of Torah Shebaal Peh that we have. Because everything's been, you know, written and documented and we have, you know, sources. But Nusach is one of those things that now we're trying to document it a little bit, but it's one of those things that was passed on from father to son, from Chazan to congregation. That's the only way it is where it is today. And it's still like that. People remember the tunes that they heard when they were kids and they went to shul from their grandfather. Everyone comes over. And I love them. People come over to me after tefillah and said, my grandfather used to be a Chazan and this is how we used to do it. I say, you know, do you have any tapes from him? Tell me how he did it, because it's always the closer to the source you are, you know,
the
it's closer
to the
emet. Yes. And that's what we're trying to do, is also to whatever we can recover. So when we come up with something that's like, we say this is the basics, every time we hear something from a previous generation, it makes it more, it's stronger.
So just so that I understand it, go to the computer and put in ou.org.
Mm-hmm. .org. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then something will come up saying Nusach, or it'll be
so
tefillah,
on the top banner. Here, I'll pull it up as we speak, so
okay.
We can actually do it and make sure that it works, because it did earlier today. I just want to like give you the exact information. So we'll do it just one second.
And OU stands for Orthodox Union,
right?
And it's the same one that
Kashrus,
Kashrus,
and NCSY and Yachar, they do wonderful,
yes.
Wonderful things.
Yes, yes.
And this is just another wonderful thing that they're doing.
Okay, so I'm on the mobile app now, because I'm on my phone, so which is a little different than the one on the computer. So it should say synagogue services, right?
Synagogue services.
Yeah, and that's going to open a banner where there's all the things for synagogues, and there would be tefillah. be little things that says tefillah. You click on that. There's biur tefillah, nusach tefillah. There's some articles just about the meaning of tefillah, and there's nusach tefillah. That would send you directly to our page.
I see.
Where it's the Nusach HaTefillah Initiative, and all the information is there on that page.
Okay, now, if someone has some questions or wants to deal directly with you, can they contact you so that you can answer some of their questions if they get a little stuck or have some need of reinforcement?
Of course. So I have an email actually at the OU that people can reach out to. It's cberson, B-E-R-S-O-N, at OU.org.
Could you just repeat that again?
Sure. Cberson, C as in Chaim. At OU.org.
That's B-E-R-S-O-N
yes.
at OU.org. Okay, so you have it. You know how to access it. And if you have any questions, you can speak to the person very much involved with this directly, Cantor Chaim David Berson at the Jewish Center. So I wish you l'hatzlacha, Joel, Cantor Kaplan, and Cantor Berson on this venture. It's very exciting. And of course, I bemoan the fact that what's the future for Chazanim, and I think that this will help with the future.
Ezrat Hashem, thank you so much, and a Shana Tova.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that was about the OU initiative, and let's go now to Cantor Yossi Malavani of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue with his comments and lecture on Nusach.
I'm very pleased to have with me Cantor Yossi Malavani, the outstanding cantor of Fifth Avenue Synagogue, a good friend and a very noted professor of Jewish music at Yeshiva University. Shalom. How are you, Yossi?
Shalom, shalom, Charlie. It's
okay.
A pleasure.
Yes. Yossi, we're going to have a little lesson from you as to what is Nusach and why is it so important. So perhaps let's start at the beginning.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me, and it's my pleasure. Nusach has two meanings. Meaning number one is nothing to do with music, but there is Nusach Ashkenaz, there is Nusach Sfarad. That pertains to text. There are differences between a Sidur or a Machzor of Nusach Ashkenaz and a Sidur or a Machzor of Nusach Sfarad or Yemenite and so on and so forth. But we are not going to deal with this. There is the musical thing, and here is what it is. Every prayer in our prayer book, in our Sidur, has a motif, a musical motif, by which the Shliach Tzibur, the messenger, the cantor, the Baal Tefillah, is supposed to chant. I am not talking now about cantorial art. I'm talking about absolute basis. For example, we know Friday night we start Lechun Eranena. There is a way of chanting it. Lechon eranen olado Hashem, nariya letzur isheinu. Arba'im eshana kud bedor, vahomar am toei levavim veyem lo yodehu derachai. This is the way that one has to chant this six psalms of the beginning of the Friday night service. There is no other way of doing it. There are little variations, but basically these are the motifs. Ta da 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 di na 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 da 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 da. This is the way to do it. Anybody who will chant the Friday night in shul in a different way, for example, let me show you something which is wrong. For example, we can say Arba'im Shana Ta da 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 Akud bedo Va'omam do elevav Heim vehem Lo yadeu derachai. That's wrong. This motif, we call it the Frigish scale, belongs to another prayer, and we will come to that. The Friday night, the chanting of the six psalms, not including the Lecha Dodi, and I will come back to it in a minute. The six psalms are chanted in the Nusach, which we call Hashem Malach. We have the after Lecha Dodi Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, a psalm, a song for the day of Shabbat, and Hashem Malach, Ad Hashem Malach, Geyus Lavesh, Lavesh Adov Hashem, Ozis Azar, da 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 da. The six psalms of Lechun Eranena and Hashem Malach have to be chanted in the same way. The Nusach of Hashem Malach on the major scale, but not completely. I don't want to be too technical because not everybody is familiar with music notes.
Okay.
But it's almost a major scale, and the seventh note, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, if it's a major, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Hashem Malach is built, ta-da-da-da-da-di-do. The seventh note is reduced by half a note. And on that scale, we build the Hashem Malach Nusach for Friday night, for the six psalms and Hashem Malach. There is no other way of doing it. Over the years in Eastern Europe, especially in Eastern Europe, they moved into the minor key. For example, when we sing the Mizmor Shir, Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbat, Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, Keyeres Balbanon Nisgesh Esulim, that's in a minor key, and that got developed in Eastern Europe a little later. And I don't know who brought it in, but it was accepted. But basically, it's the Hashem Malach, and that's the Nusach of Friday night davening. I said before, Charlie, that I will come to Lecha Dodi. Now, the Nusach of Hashem Malach that I said before is called the Nusach Misinai, from Sinai. We believe that this motif, this scale, is an old Jewish scale, maybe connected with some old ancient Greek scales, and we call it a Mixolydian scale. Mixolydian scale. But because we call it Misinai Nusach, we like to believe that it came to us almost from Mount Sinai together with the Torah. We cannot change it. It's halacha le Moshe Misinai. It's halachically that Moshe brought it down to earth from God. Maybe it was later, we are not sure, because there was no system of writing music.
Right. It was all in the world.
It was all, exactly. Now, Lecha Dodi was composed by El Kabatz about 400 years ago, maybe 500 years ago. So relatively, it's much newer. So there is really no Nusach. We can sing it in any scale we want. But you know, I have a theory. How should one really sing Lechun Eranena? Rabbi Shlomo El Kabatz composed it.
Lechun Eranena?
Sorry, the Lecha Dodi. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Of Lecha Dodi. As I say, it's much more recent. Mm-hmm. Shabbat is a day of Simcha. It's Oneg. It's a day of enjoyment. So we say that we can sing it in a happy tune, we as Ashkenazi Jews, and I'm talking about the Nusach of Ashkenazim,
okay,
we Ashkenazi Jews rejoice on Shabbat. We have on Shabbat morning Yismechu v'malchuscha shomrei Shabbat. Those who rejoice with you, God, in your kingdom, those who observe the Shabbat. So we can sing the Lecha Dodi in a happy melody. I don't call it Nusach, I call it melody.
Okay.
But Shabbat is also called Shabbos Malkesa, or Shabbat HaMalka, the Shabbat, the Queen. And the Shabbat comes down to us on late Friday afternoon, and it's like royalty. The question is, when we talk about royalty, do we sing happy hopkes, happy melody, which I love singing too, or we should sing it in a very majestic way, as it suits dealing with royalty, because Shabbat is the Malka, Shabbat is the Queen. So I grew up in Tel Aviv with my Rebbe, Cantor Shlomo Ravitz, who was a genius of Nusach and Chazanut. He believed in the second one. He believed that it's royalty. So if it is so, then you sing it in a major scale, in a most elegant way. I'll give you two examples. First, I'll give you maybe three examples. The way we learned it from Ravitz as children. Lecha dodi likras kala penei Shabbat nekabela. Lecha dodi likras kala penei Shabbat nekabela. Very elegant, very majestic. Talk to German Jews who observe the epitome of elegance and majesty. Lecha dodi likras kala penei Shabbat nekabela. Lecha dodi likras kala penei Nekabela. Very elegant. Imagine the big synagogues with a chazan, with a wonderful choir singing it. You felt kedusha, you felt sanctity. And I promised you a third one.
Okay.
There was Tzvi Talmon in Yerushalayim, who was the student of Shlomo Zalman Rivlin, who was the Ravitz. Ravitz was in Tel Aviv, Rivlin was in Yerushalayim. He was a Talmid of his, he was his student. And he composed a beautiful Lecha Dodi based in a major key, major scale. Lecha dodi likras kala penei Shabbos nekabela. Lecha dodi likras kala penei Shabbos nekabela. Now it's a major scale. Da, 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 da. I just want to finish and then I'll let you ask the question. I'm sorry. But what did he do? So clever. Da 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 da. What is it? This reminds us the trop, the cantillation, the way we chant either Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, or the Book of Ruth, or the Book of Koheleth. All three of them, Shir HaShirim is Pesach, Ruth is on Shavuot and Kohelet is on Sukkot. But there is a tradition among religious Jews that before we start Lechun Aranena, the Friday night davening, I remember my late father, he chanted quietly the Song of Songs. And Shir HaShirim Asher LiShlomo Ishakeni Min Shikos Piyu Ki Tovim Dodecha Miyayin. So Talmon took the motifs of the cantillation of Shir HaShirim and put it into Lechadodi. That's how you make it relevant, and that's how clever it is and correct. Occasionally, I sing it in my shul too.
You talk about major and minor keys. To the uninitiated, such as myself, what is major and minor?
Major, you know, if you look at the piano and you touch the note C. Ta da 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 na na na. It's only the white notes. Okay. It doesn't touch the black notes. Ti da 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 na na. And there is a format. I don't want to be too technical. Minor is ta da di da da. Like Hatikva begins. Ta da 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 da.
That's minor.
It's sad, but you can sing a happy melody into the minor key. The minor is derived from the major's six notes. You go from the six another seven notes, and you have yourself a minor key. So the major is the elegant, the majestic, the beautiful. The minor is a little sadder. We have another key in the cantorial music, and that's what we call the Phrygisch. Again, an old ancient Greek Jewish scale from where we have the Nusach, for example, on Shabbos morning. Ahava Rabba, before Shema Yisrael. Or we actually start a little bit before. Ti da 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 di ahava rabba bava ta da 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 di. And this is also, by the way, an Oriental scale. And here is where East meets West, or West meets East. And you know which famous song is taken from the Nusach of Ahava Rabba? Ahava Rabba Avetohu Anu Adoi Shem Elam Avoyekereyenu. You know which song is which folklore song is taken from here? Hava Nagila Hava Da 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 da. So this, we have three main scales in the davening in the Nusach. The major, and derived from here, what I mentioned before, the mixolydian, only the seventh note is reduced by half tone. We have the minor, and we have the Phrygisch, which is the Nusach of Ahava Rabba, and the repetition of the Amidah on Shacharit and in Musaf on Shabbat, but not from the beginning. Kedusha. Nekades Heshimecha Vavaba Voyelam Keshem Shemagdishim Oyesol Voy Vishemei Marom Kakos Valiad Neviecha Vekaraze Elze Veyo
What people sing nigunim, I don't want to go into that.
Most of the Nigunim, unfortunately, are not based on the Nusach. Mm-hmm. But at least if they are nice and they were composed by religious people, okay, but as long as the Baltfila at the end comes back to the da 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 da, and then Yismach Moshe b'Matnas Chelko, the whole repetition of Shachris, the whole repetition of Musaf is based on the Frigish. So major, minor, a touch, Mixolydian, and the Frigish. These are the four scales that we use for the davening, Jewish davening.
So what do you do with cantors who can't read music?
Well, they may not be able to analyze academically the scales, but those cantors, at the least they should do is they should study with somebody who knows the Nusach well, who knows the motifs well, and they will follow that. That's okay, what can we do? Right. I would urge them to study music, of course, but many chazonim studied with old chazonim who themselves may not have known music, but they got it from father to son, few hundred years, but not, I don't think, from the time of Beit HaMikdash. But when I said that East meets West or West meets East, for the there is the mannerism, the nasal sound that the Sfaradim or Yemenite. But if you take the mannerism out and you analyze just the scale, it's very similar between the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, and that's the beauty of Judaism.
Now, the thousands of recordings that I have of all the great cantors from the past and the present, do they practice Nusach in these recordings?
I'm sorry. Charlie, yes and no. I would say the majority do. I'd like to believe. I don't get a chance to hear many chazonim. But from recordings that you are mentioning, take Kusevitsky, take Yossel Rosenblatt, take Hirschman, take Cup of Kagan, take the greatest cantors. They adhered to the Nusach. You know, there was a composer for the Ger Hasidim. His name was Yankel Talmud. As a teenager, my late father in Tel Aviv sent me to him because he didn't know music, but he just composed, and he used to put it on an old wheel-to-wheel or reel-to-reel tape recorder, if you remember how it used to be. So I remember when I came to him once, and he says, I have a new Nigen, and I think we are going to do it to Mimkomcha for Shabbos, Shachris Kedusha. So we spoke Yiddish. His Hebrew was badly, but I speak Yiddish. I heard it at home.
Yes.
So, and eventually it was a cantor David Verdiger who recorded it. And I have it recorded, I rearranged it, and I have it in davenings, in concerts, in discs. I da 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 dum ba bum. Before you start the words, da 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 da. Sometimes
but which Nusach is it?
Of the Mimkomcha, the way it should be done.
Okay.
But then in between he had Nigunim. But it's based on the Nusach. So I cannot say a word of criticism, but praise only. Because he adhered to it. Oh yes, he had many Nigunim to many tfilos, many prayers, which are not 100%. But he always came back to Nusach. Take, for example, Leib Glantz. Gleb Glantz was known as the greatest improviser, and he was a sort of a modernist. He believed that years and years later, people will accept that he was doing the right thing. I heard him as a kid in Tel Aviv, and I used to go out from shul. I walked home in the seventh heaven. He often improvised away from the Nusach. He started Nusach. Then he went away, but he always came back. So he said, okay. So he interpreted the words. At least I came out from the davening as if I came out from a lesson. This is the interpretation. Why do I do this in the davening? Why don't I do that? But the scale, the musical motif, which we call the Nusach, was always, he always came back to it.
I'll walk out of a service and somebody will say, oh, the Nusach was wonderful, or they'll complain, no Nusach. And I'm at a loss, quite frankly. I feel so ignorant because, you know...
You're not ignorant. You're a great expert.
No.
I know that.
but there's a lot that I need to learn.
We all need to learn. Thank you.
But I was often hoping that maybe there would be a way of somebody who is a master of it rating the Nusach rating, if you will.
of course. It's for example, we slichus. Let's talk for a moment about slichus.
Okay.
First night slichus.
Right.
So Ashrei, everybody cries. Tzadik Adoshem Bechol Der Olachav Vechassid Beruvov. It's in a minor key. And I remember I asked once Glantz. I must have been maybe 14, 15 years old, maybe 16 years old. I said, Chazen Glantz, please tell me, it was in Tel Aviv, why are we crying in Ashrei when the text of Ashrei is praising of Hashem? Are we supposed to praise Hashem in a minor key, in crying, or should we do it in a majestic because he is the King of Kings? So I remember he answered me, come to hear my slichot. Luckily, we used to do it in Bilu school, Bilu shul in Tel Aviv, in Rothschild Boulevard at 10 o'clock, and he said slichos at 1 o'clock in the morning. So after we finished in Bilu, my father, Alav Shalom, schlepped me to hear Glantz. And I understood, and I said to... So my father, Alav Shalom, said to me, what did you think? I said, and what do you say? I said, did you look at the text, my father said to me? Did you hear what he did? He moved away from it, but always came at least the end of the pasuk into the. For example, Teilal le David, Aronimcha Elokai, Hamelech. Hamelech is from Rosh Hashanah. So he took from the Shachris in Rosh Hashanah, adopted it into the Slichot. And what is Slichot if not an introduction to the High Holidays davening? The Karov Adoshem Lecha Lekoreyav. Major. Karov Adoshem Lechol Korav. Hashem is close to whom? To all those who seek Him. That means we're talking about the greatness of God. Why cry? But he knows, he knew Nusach. He was a master of Nusach. So how did he finish the sentence? Lechol asher yikaru beyemes. And this motif. That's only Slichot and Ne'ilah. So I'm jumping from Friday night to Shabbat morning to Slichot just to illustrate the motifs that belong to each and every one.
Clients and others understand, you yourself understand the words.
Sure.
So the ability to understand the words and believe the words is certainly critical if you're going to move from Nusach to some other aspect and come back. I mean, you've got to understand what you're doing.
Charlie, absolutely. Let me digress for a second to the world of opera. There is no comparison. I don't believe in comparisons between Chazones and opera, although here and there sometimes there are influences. When you talk to experts of opera, when you talk to famous singers, to the Domingos, to the Pavarottis, to whoever you talk to, they will tell you, and I've heard them saying it on radio, on television, even in talks, that the text of the opera is extremely important in terms of pronunciation of the word, to understand the story, to understand if there is a lesson in the text. If they worry about the text and pay a lot of attention to it, how much more do we as Jews have to do that, because it's a sacred text? It's psalms, it's prayers that our Chazal, our rabbis, ancient rabbis composed. If the opera is important, how much more our text? So anybody who, I will find out, goes to the Amud, to Daven, and is not aware of the meaning of the text, we have a Mishnah that we say every morning in the davening, in Masechet Peah. There are certain mitzvot that have no limit. You can do as much as you want. Eilu devorim she'ein lahem shi'ur. These are the things that have no limit. Talmud Torah, give it a charity, unfortunately participating in funeral, singing at a wedding. But there is also iyun tefillah, the study and the understanding of the tefillah. If I would find out a chazan who did not check the sidur or the machzor or the slichos before and go through it, he will not be my shliach tzibur. And I really, honestly, I'm a great believer. I talk to my students non-stop. I'll let you into a little secret, Charlie. Maybe I told it to you before. I've been a chazan for many years. Believe me that from Thursday evening, the sidur is on my desk. Not just lying there, but I look at it. And almost each time I find something new. I want to tell you a little episode or anecdote. It's more than anecdote. It's important. So I spoke about Mimkomcha, the Kedusha for Shacharis on Shabbos. And it's related to the minor, and we say Matai Timloch Betzion, when Hashem, will you become the king again? We go to the minor and we cry, and that's part of the motifs, the musical motifs of the Kedusha for Mimkomcha. I remember many, many, many years ago, 1967, we had a 6-day war. The whole Jewish world was rejoicing. And I was then the cantor, just started my career in Johannesburg, in South Africa. And I remember I was sitting at home and thinking, Yerushalayim is liberated. Hebron is liberated. Shechem, all Yehuda and Shomron is liberated. Maybe the Mashiach is already coming. He's certainly on his way. Okay, I'm talking now like a Chabadnik. But there was a sense that a miracle happened, because it could not have happened just by itself. Of course, the Israeli army is the best in the world, but there was Yad Hashem, there was the hand of God there. You know, that Thursday I was sitting, the following week I already flew to Israel to see the Kotel. The Kotel was, of course, liberated. That Shabbos, I decided I am not singing Mimkomcha, davening in the Nusach, in the traditional Nusach. I am going to break away from it. And I did the whole thing. I remember more or less because I improvised it. And I sang, Mimkomcha, Malkeinu Sophia. Like Lechun Ranena, as I spoke before, in a major key, because we acknowledge God. We acknowledge Shabbat, which is the Queen. And I went on something on that, as we say in Yiddish, on that gang, on that derech, on that path. Finished Shachris, I went to my seat, the Baal Kori reads the Torah, and one of the old Lithuanian Jews came over to me, Bein Gavra Le Gavra, between an Aliyah to an Aliyah, and he said to me, in a heavy Lithuanian accent, what did you do here? At that time you had Mevinim. The people who knew the Nusach you were talking about, or the Nusach was good, they knew what Nusach. They came from Lithuania, where they held the best Chazonim, and it was part of the tradition, or Balei Tfila. Why did you do it? He didn't know major key, but there was something that I've never heard before. Why did you do it? So I said to him, are you aware that the Jewish people experienced a huge miracle this week? He said, of course, the Kotel is with us. So I said, how can I cry to God, ask him, when are you going to be the king? May you be sanctified. His God alves is Kadash. You will be great and you will be sanctified in your city, Yerushalayim, forever and ever. We experience a miracle that in our lifetime we didn't. You may have experienced it because you were alive when the state of Israel came into being. But I, as a young man, experienced something which I did not know. I had to do it in a major, elegant, majestic way to express the experience.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. If somebody wants to really immerse himself with Nusach and get an education, how does one do that?
Come to the Bell School of Jewish Music at Yeshiva University, where I'm a distinguished professor, and register to any class, because whoever teaches there knows Nusach. Uh-huh. My Nusach is the Nusach that I give. I normally give it from three or four different composers. Ravitz, my Rebbe, Rivlin in Yerushalayim, Yehuda Leib Ne'eman, who was also from Yerushalayim, and Rivlin and Ne'eman were descendants of the Talmidim of the Gaon of Vilna. They came to Eretz Israel, he went back to Vilna. He left Vilna with his Talmidim, with his disciples, but something happened and he went back to Vilna. They proceeded to Yerushalayim, and they brought the Nusach of Vilna to Yerushalayim. And so Ravitz, Rivlin, Ne'eman, and sometimes Israel Alter. Israel Alter was a tremendous Bal Nusach. He himself was a Galicianer Dikayid, but he became famous as a cantor in Germany, in Hanover. I don't know exactly how he davened there. But and then he left just before the Holocaust, and he went to South Africa.
South Africa, right.
And he was in Johannesburg in the Wolmaran Street Synagogue. I met him in Johannesburg, and of course subsequently here in New York. And I was just grabbing from him whatever I could. And he always used to say, we used to speak Yiddish, and he used to say, "Junger Mann, young man, your Nusach is okay, go on." I said, "Yes, but I want to hear everything." So I grabbed from him whatever I could.
He has a good Friday night service.
Sure, and Lecha Dodi, he sings that gorgeous.
Yes, yes.
I sang it before. Lecha Dodi.
Right.
He said Daudi because it was in Germany.
Right, and with a nice choir also.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I think there is an organ, but it was not recorded on Shabbos, of course. No, it was not.
No.
It was recorded in a studio.
Right.
In the mid 30s,
right.
Maybe early to mid 30s.
Now, supposing someone is not from the metropolitan area, cannot make it to Bell's or the Yeshiva University, what do you recommend?
I'll tell you, Charlie, we are now in the midst of putting together my classes. It will be online. Excuse me, and people will be able to register. And as I give the class at Yeshiva University, it will be recorded, taped. I don't know if it will be live another day,
right.
And it will be available online. So from all over the world, people will get Nuschois from four great Balei Tshuva.
Interesting.
Here and there, I may sneak in something of my own, but it's based on the Nusach. But I like very much the Nusach, and it's very similar with certain variations, but I like the Nusach of the Chazonim of yesteryears, or the Balei Tefillah of yesteryears.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the music at home.
Right.
I've made copies of that. My students get copy, and I suppose when it will be ready online, people who will register will receive the music too. Even if they do not read music, they will hear it as I have it in the class, and they will have the music in front of them, and the music will help them when they see the music moving up or low or something. It will help them to memorize it, because I don't like so much the idea of having music in front of you when you daven. Sometimes it's a new composition, especially when you sing with a choir and there isn't enough time to learn it by heart. Okay, but regular davening, one should be immersed in the Nusach.
How soon would such a course be available? It's in the
I'm not sure, but we are working on it now.
So they should go to the website of...
Of the Bell School, but not. It will be announced.
Okay.
I have a feeling that it will be ready by the end of 2016.
Okay.
I hope so, because I cannot wait. I tell you, I travel all over, with concerts, and especially in the United States, I try to stay another day. And I ask if there are local chazanim. Can you come? Let's get together. And if you have some balabatim who are interested, would they take off half a day on Monday? And let's sit down and work on Nusach. So I fly back on Monday night. Mm-hmm. Usually the concerts are on Sundays.
Right.
And I am happy with all my heart to give it so that everybody should be happy to learn the Nusach. Because we are in a battle today to preserve, to maintain, and to advance the knowledge of Nusach. There is a tendency today, very often, to break away from it. And sometimes there is a situation, as the Pasuk says, at the end of the book of Yehoshua, and the beginning of Shoftim, Judges, Joshua and Judges. I'll say it in Hebrew, and then I'll translate it. Bayamim ha'hem, Ein melech beYisrael, ish hayashar beinav yaseh. In those days, and you can paraphrase it in these days, Ein Melech B'Israel, there is no king. Everybody does what they want. And believe me, sometimes I hear Balei Tfilas when I'm away or when I'm in the mountains and I hear Chevre Davening. Sometimes you hear a nice Bal Tfilah. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I say to myself, for God's sake, where did they get it from?
Well, it's also a function of the congregants, what they expect also. I mean, they would have to be
but you know, you
educated.
Have, of course. Yes. So in my shul, first of all, of course, I adhere to the Nusach. Right. And I'm at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue just under 43 years. So by now, even with the newer generation, they understand what it is all about. Right. Secondly, I give talks. And I explain to them, as I demonstrated on this program, mm-hmm. there we go by subject. For example, one lecture could be just Shabbat. Before Rosh Hashanah, I'm giving, for example, this year a lecture in Teaneck, New Jersey, under the auspices of the Keter Torah Shul and the Orthodox Union, a talk to Chazonim, Balei Tfilah, and Balabatim, together with a rabbi, Rabbi Baum. He and I will share the podium. He will speak whatever he will speak, and he's a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and he has a lot to say.
When is this going to be?
Sunday morning, the 18th of September.
Oh, it's soon.
Soon, yeah. 2016.
Yes.
And after that, I will talk about, and I will show, and I will demonstrate, and I'll get them to sing with me again and again. So something will remain. And I ask them to bring all kinds of recording devices.
Right.
So that and I'm happy to sing and explain and talk and show how you interpret the word within the Nusach. It's so beautiful.
That's Howie Grunspech working.
Yes, Howard Grunspech,
sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
He's the one who is, like you, advocate of cantorial music.
That's it, advocates. Well, we've covered a lot, and perhaps sometime we'll have a postscript to this. But
sure, anytime.
I think this is a great introduction for the uninitiated, and I thank you so much for taking the time to share these thoughts.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and you know, Charlie, you're welcome anytime, whatever you want.
Thank you, and Tunusach.
Tunusach, okay. Good.
Yes, Tunusach. Okay, those were the two interviews. I hope that you found them of interest. If you have any questions or you want to reach Cantor Malavani or Cantor Burson or Kaplan, just email me, cbjmusic, and I'll tell you how to reach them, or I'll have them call you. You know how to reach me, right? cbjmusic@aol.com. Thanks for joining with me, and shalom, everyone.